Welcome to Country Sunday. For 21 years now, it's been my privilege to gather right here with you and welcome you to another year at Country Sunday. The very first time, I was not the pastor of this church. It was actually one of the Sundays that the church invited Debbie and I, and at the time we had little Carrie Ann, a year and a half old, and Trevor on the way. We all came and visited with you and thought, man, this place, these people are cool, they can cook, and boy, were we hooked, right? So that's 21 years ago, and I'm just kind of curious, before I share just a couple of things, I know the sun's beating down on us, and the food and the smell is starting to just like overwhelm us with desire. So before that, how many of you, this is your very first Country Sunday? Raise your hand. Look at that. Nice. Welcome. Hey, all of you who've been here before, say on the count of three, welcome. All right, one, two, three, welcome. So we're sounding really sick. How many of you, I'm curious, when you described yourself to somebody, used adjectives like gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth? Anybody do that? Anybody say that? Hi, I'm Steve, and I'm gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. No. Because it's probably not true all the time. Anyway, leave me alone, loser. There we go. Okay, so if God were sitting here in one of these groups on the grass today, you know what? You might actually hear him say, as he describes himself to you, I'm gracious and I'm compassionate. I'm slow to anger and I'm abounding in loving kindness and truth. In fact, that expression that I just quoted is repeated throughout the Bible, the very first time in Exodus 34, where God, giving a self-description, says, as though he were gathered in one of these groups on the grass, hey, here's a little something about me. I want you to take this away with you and to hold on to this, because when you're scratching your head going, who was that person? I want you to remember this about me. I'm gracious and I'm compassionate. I'm slow, actually, to things like anger. And I'm full of things like loving kindness and truth. Those words don't surprise us when we think about God, do they? I mean, think about it. Gracious and compassionate. If you're part of Grace Point, you've heard those words a lot, because we teach the Bible all the time, every week, every time we're together. Now, let me connect something for you, though. If we are to imitate God, okay? Anybody know that reference in the New Testament? Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. So let me connect a point here. If God says he's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and kindness, and we're to imitate God, kind of a question for you to think around the day today. To what extent is that a description of me? Do I, in fact, come across, not just in introducing myself, but in the actions of my life, as gracious and compassionate? Am I an imitator of God in that way? Here's another one that we can all kind of sink our teeth into. Are we that kind of church? Are we a kind of church that if somebody came, and maybe you're one of them today, this is their first experience at Grace Point, you've heard about us, a friend or a neighbor, or somebody you work with invited you today, and you're here because you want to check it out for yourself. Plus, they got good grub, all right, and great sounds, right? So you're here, and you're wanting you're taking a first impression. I hope you leave here today going, wow, that church is like that. But let me ask you a question that 7 years ago, when we were changing our name, how many of you were here when we did that? We used to be known as First Baptist Church of Tigard, and we changed our name to Grace Point community church. And when we did, there was conversation about why a name change, what's in a name, and all those sorts of kind of important questions. And I explained why with these words. We want people to know that the point of our church is grace. So it made sense. That sort of pointed obviously to the words Grace Point Community Church. We wanted people to know that the point of our church is grace. Not doctrinal issues, not programs, and not buildings, as important as all those things are. We want people to come and, we used to say it a lot, taste the grace. I said also, we believe that the entry point of salvation, according to the Bible, is grace. It's the doorway of grace. Some other things that we said in explaining why a name change to Grace Point. We point people in grace to live their lives for an audience of one, Jesus Christ. That's a core value of our church. Some other quick points. Grace Point has a focusing effect on all we are and all we do. So we explained a lot of that kind of thinking when it came to the kind of church that we want to become. One of my favorite, and I tell people a lot, when you drive by our church, you look over and you don't have much more than a quick second to kind of see a name. And we felt like Tigard First Baptist Church was like nondescript. If you said, so are they Baptist? What does that mean? We said we wanted that people driving by and seeing a name on a board or on a sign would actually come in and find that the name fits the life and the way that we are. In other words, that there's consistency between what we say we are, Grace Point Community Church, and who we are, people of grace. In fact, that's the point. So, question again, are we that kind of church today? It's a good question. Where grace is still the point. Well, let's stay there for just a second, okay? Let's get a hold of grace just for a quick moment. Let's understand when I started here and explained the idea of God talking to us, somebody in a grass group here today, in a small group, that he's gracious. If you took the time and said, oh, can I stop you for a second and interrupt? What do you mean by that? What does it mean that you are gracious? What is grace? The Apostle John in his gospel wrote this, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What was he getting at in John 1 there when he said that? If you took the time to examine the meaning of the word grace, you would find your way to the Greek word charis, which is, by the way, part of the wording of our youngest daughter's name. It's charissa, the expression grace. And now here's what you would discover is that the verb means I'm glad, I rejoice. So if you looked up the word grace and took a sort of a journey into its deeper meaning, it would always be with the expression, I'm glad, I rejoice. You can't say that without a smile, can you? I mean, you know, hi, welcome to Grace Point, dude. You can't say it with a snarl. You got to say it with a smile. It fits. It's consistent. When God saves a sinner, he does so smiling. For by grace, I'm glad, I rejoice. For by grace you have been saved, Ephesians 2, verse 8 says. Not as a result of your works, so that no one can boast. By grace, I'm glad, I rejoice. You know what that tells me? God is not like reluctant to pardon a sinner. When I finally came to him and said, you know, God, I've messed up. I've gone my own way. I've tried to find a way to make it work without you, and it didn't work. God didn't go, well, you know what? Since people are watching, I guess I better be nice. He didn't say, you know, since you've tried everything else, here you go. God said with gladness, I'm glad, I rejoice. in saving you by grace. That means that God extends grace, salvation, to people who have no merit. Well, there's no exchange that says, God, look, I've been good enough, so you return the favor. It's not a deserved gift. It's a free gift to undeserving people. And what is the gift? Forgiveness. Now, when people like us gather, like we're doing right here in a park, like we do every Sunday on 110th and Guardy, we're called a community. I want us to think of ourselves as a society for just a minute. We're a society of people that smile. We're Grace Point, right? I'm glad. I rejoice. It's part of what our DNA should be about. We're people, a society of smilers. Now, someone, however, described with satire too many Christians as persons with a haunting fear that someone, somewhere, is happy. Have you met that kind of Christian? All right, I'll be honest. I'll ask you the question first, and then I'll answer it myself. Have you been that kind of Christian at times? I have. Like, I got an attitude. Like, I got a problem. Like, I'm sour and sort of grumpy. Like, I'm fussy. That was fussy, right? And it contradicts, I'm glad. I rejoice. I've got God in my life, and I didn't deserve it. People don't settle. Don't ever settle for that being described of us. That somewhere we're worried because someone might be having a good time. But just get past, if we're there, get past there. Theologian Irma Bombeck described a scene that I thought is too good to keep to myself. I hope it never describes us. She said, in church the other Sunday, I was intent on a small child who was turning around, smiling at everyone. He wasn't gurgling, spinning, humming, kicking, tearing the hymnals, or rummaging through his mother's handbag. He was just smiling. Finally, his mother jerked him about in a stage whisper that could be heard in a little theater off Broadway and said, stop that grinning. You're in church. Can you imagine? With that, she gave him the belt, and as the tears rolled down his cheek, she added, that's better. And she returned quietly to her private prayers. Suddenly, I was angry. It occurred to me that the entire world is in tears, and if you're not, you'd better get with it. I wanted to grab this child with the tear-stained face close to me and tell him about my God, the happy God, the smiling God, the God who had to have a sense of humor to have created the likes of us. What a fool, I thought. Here was a woman sitting next to the only light left in our civilization, doing all she could to erase his smile. If he couldn't smile in church, where was there left to go? People, the church is the society of smiling people for a reason. For a reason. Not because we've got up personalities, not because there's energy, but because we belong to a God of grace. We are a society of smiling people because we belong to a God who gave us his grace and invited us into a relationship with him, even though we don't deserve it. That's what Titus was getting at when he said this, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Question, how is it possible that God can smile at sinful people? He tells us three verses later, Jesus gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people. Totally committed to doing what is good. We have by His grace been set free. That's the song we just sang. That's why the song Amazing Grace for many of us is our favorite. I was not surprised at all this week to learn that some have actually dubbed Amazing Grace America's song. I was thinking, why would that be? And perhaps it's because most people know sort of intuitively that they deserve damnation for doing wrong. But God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, says Psalm 103, verse 10. Amazing and grace are the right words. The song was, of course, Amazing Grace, was, of course, written by a wretched man, a slave trader by the name of John Newton. Did you know that one day in 1748, while trafficking in West African slaves, God put fear in his heart during a fierce storm? In the darkness of night, Newton cried out to God as the slave ship filled with water. The storm subsided and the ship drifted to safety. His life was spared, his sins forgiven. His new mission was set to abolish slavery with William Wilberforce, compelled by the spiritual freedom he had found by God's grace. That's why I think we love the song so much. What a God. A God who puts free men and women in slavery, who takes a man that makes his living enslaving people and says, no, I got a different mission for your life. First of all, I'm going to set you free, and next, I want you to be on a mission that will set millions and millions of people free. What a God. What grace. A man who held other men in chains discovered that, in fact, he was in shackles to his own sin, and only God, in grace, forgave him. Here's the take-home. God continues to set prisoners free. He does. You know, more than the fun of this picnic, more than counting our blessings as Americans, and there are lots. The other day we had some folks over on the 4th, and when the song came, and it was one of the Name That Tune songs, I'm proud to be an American. When that happened, we were all having big old fun throwing the corn, whatever they're called. We got them set up out here. I hope you'll come and try to take me on, because I'm good. What's it called? Cornhole. There we go. We're playing that, having a great time. It was actually new. We had not played it. And then all of a sudden that song came on, and I looked around me, and every one of us had stopped and stood straight. And just, you could see chills on everybody's arms and legs in this proud moment to be an American. As proud as all that is, what trumps everything I've just listed and so many more is the freedom that we have from a God that gave us something that he was glad and he rejoiced to give us, forgiveness because of his grace. Author Max Lucado is right. What a God. I close with his words. Ponder the achievement of God. He doesn't condone our sin, nor does he compromise his standard. He doesn't ignore our rebellion, nor does he relax his demands. Rather than dismiss our sin, he assumes our sin and incredibly sentences himself. God's holiness is honored. Our sin is punished by the one who took our place on a cross, and we are redeemed. God does what we cannot do so we can be what we dare not dream, perfect before a holy God because of Christ. Amen. Thank you, God, for this brief moment to talk about you. We'd be just like a picnic from a social club, a neighborhood community, homeowners group, if it weren't for the fact that the common denominator for the rich and poor, for the tall and the short for the young and old, for mature adults and very simple children. The common denominator is your wonderful Son, Jesus. And I pray that today, God, maybe like we haven't done in a while, we would remember that it's through your amazing grace, through the delight you took, through the joy and gladness that you extended to us, you forgave us, and you set us free. God, I pray that we would celebrate in the spirit of that freedom that you've given us to know you and to have the promise of eternity someday with you. I pray that in our conversation and our activities this afternoon and lunch and all that goes ahead of us, we would just pause for a moment and beyond being proud to be Americans, we would be deeply grateful, profoundly touched and blessed. Once again, as we consider that we, people who had no claim to a relationship with you because of your Son and your grace, we now can know you. We love you. I pray that as we sing just this one last song, Amazing Grace, again, it would be sung with grateful hearts from people that have been set free. In the name of Jesus, I pray.